Fred, hi, how's it?
Hello, Tim, how are you? It's almost Saturday night.
I know, it's almost Saturday night.
Isn't there a song called It's Almost Saturday Night?
I don't know. There should be. Yeah, that's right.
It's Saturday night.
Yeah, so Saturday night is our topic for today. It's Fred's idea. I don't actually know what Fred meant when he said songs about Saturday night. Were you thinking of songs which actually refer to Saturday night? Or were you thinking of songs that you just boost yourself because you're just about to go out on Saturday night?
Both. The sort of that pumps you up or drags you down. And songs that deal lyrically with Saturday night. So it's,
It
could be both. Yeah.
All right. Before we get there, maybe we should just talk about what we've been listening to. And 2 weeks ago, we had Gary Rathbone on, and he spoke about releasing his next album. And the album is now released, and the sort of lead track from it is a song called Mr. Opportunity, which I really like. And this is how it sounds. So, Fred, what do you think?
It's a nice poppy single, isn't it?
Yeah, it reminds me of that band. It's a sort of very atmospheric. It reminds me of that band, Don't Take Drugs. No, the band's
War
name
on Drugs?
Is War on Drugs. Yes, that's right.
You know, I heard the whole album, and a lot of it is you think, oh, that reminds me of kind of songs. On the other hand, in a positive thing is like when they come up on my telephone in the random playlist, I think, what is this? And then I have to look and I think, oh, it's Gary. And he sounds very good in between all the other stuff. So, I think it's a very good effort.
Yeah. It's strange that way. If you know somebody, you go through a different process when you're listening to the music. It's actually quite hard to judge somebody's music. You do go through that process of it sounds like, which you shouldn't do because it doesn't actually sound like anything. It sounds like the person. Anyway,
it's pros and it's cons, the knowing somebody. I mean, if you know somebody, you're more prepared to listen to it, whereas otherwise you might have just dismissed it as yet another whatever. But on the other hand, as you say, if you know somebody also, you know the person and that the good and the bad parts of that person. Which may taint you listening to. I mean, if it's the person you particularly don't like, you're not going to like suddenly the music. Whereas if you wouldn't know him, you might like them.
Maybe you don't. You never know. They are fantastic songs written by terrible people. Anyway, what have you been listening to?
No, I listened to the exact opposite of Saturday night music. It was an album by a American musician called Kaylee Malone, and the album was All Life Long. I Needed Peace and Quiet. She was born in 1994, and she's an American composer and an organist. She plays the organ, and she particularly plays the pipe organ. And music genres, they say drone, minimalism, and electroacoustic. And she's made about, I think, five albums or something. And some of them are like, they're very droney. So it's one note. She specially prepares all the organ pipes. And she's incredibly clever musically.
Thank you.
you hear, when you listen properly, you hear all the overtones and the undertones. It's not like one, but you hear different little twitches. Yes. And it's quite comforting and it makes you more relaxed. But it's not like New Agey or anything. And she's been doing a lot of research into organs. So she visited a million churches to specifically listen to the church organs. And in France, she encountered quite forceful protests by a right-wing nationalist movement called Civitas. And I assume it's a very Catholic, nationalistic, traditional organization. And they blocked entry to the church because she was going to play there in one of the churches in the place called Karnak. And she wasn't allowed because
Why?
Of, I don't know, you abuse the Lord's organs or the Lord's space. I don't know. These people have certain ideas that are for me sometimes quite difficult to comprehend. She didn't put up a fight. She just withdrew the concert. But she's a very clever musician. And the last album she uses also brass and vocals. And you must give it a listen. It's something that I've never heard ever before. So I was thinking about Ria Malan, who once interviewed Jim Kutze, and he asked Kutze, what music do you like? And Kutze thought long and hard, stayed quiet for a long time, and finally he said, music that I haven't heard before. And, you know, when initially you think, oh, that's such a cheap... But actually, you, of course, it's very challenging, music you haven't heard before. That's what you want to hear, maybe, instead of wallowing in nostalgia or sentimentality. So for me, that Carly Malone was like something like music I've never heard before. And it stuck with me. It's good.
Oh, good. Yeah. Excellent. And but you wouldn't listen to it before you went out on a Saturday night.
If it was one of those sad nights where you have to stay in because nobody wants to go out with you. No, it's good music to... Like, I think people would probably meditate to it, or it's funny enough, it is listening music, even if it's droney and all that.
Okay.
You have to, what they these days call deep listening. That's what you have to
Okay. do. All right. But if you were going out on a Saturday night, this is a song that you would listen to. That's Forever Young by Sparks. So you're pumped up at this point, obviously. Why Saturday night? And why Forever Young?
Well, it is a going out song, right? I think. And it's about feeling full of energy and youthfulness. And they recorded in 1977, but Sparks are always a bit tongue-in-cheek, of course, because it's a bit like Oscar Wilde-ish tune. About, right. What's his name, the guy who looks into the mirror and doesn't grow old. So it's, I think it's tongue-in-cheek, but it is about tonight, every night, forever young, forever feeling right, and I'll sit and watch the history books get thicker, he sings, and I refuse to be what I'm not this instant, which is, of course, much older than you are. And towards the end, it's there's the little thing for you and me. And he sings, and I don't care what you do, babe. But as for me, I ain't gonna change, not one bit. I ain't getting older and grayer and fatter. So I thought, it's a perfect song for people of a certain age. And you still pretend that you're young. Sometimes you have to pretend that you're young. And you dress up and you think, I'm gonna hit the town and chase the skirts and all that.
Nice intro song. So now this is completely on a different track. That is the superficial. This is the deep. We are now looking for the heart of A Saturday Night.
Are you gassed and a weed? With your arm around your sweet one, your Oldsmobile, hailing down the boulevard. You're looking for the heart of Saturday night. And you got paid on Friday, and your pockets are jingling, and you see the lights. Get all tingling cause you're cruising with a six. You're looking for the heart of Saturday night.
Okay, so that is, of course, Tom Waits, Looking for the Heart of a Saturday Night. I think it's his best song. I've been listening to him for years and years, and when you said Saturday Night, this song sprung to mind. It's just such a classic. And I like the way that he really looks into the idea of what Saturday Night is, but it's distant from it. This is from his second album, it was 1974, but he wrote it while he was on tour with Frank Zappa.
What? Oh, yeah.
Because it's a very classic song structure. He was probably looking for something that follows the tradition in a very strong sort of way when he's going crazy with Frank Zappa. But anyway, not pumped up at all, but you are in your Oldsmobile, which is weird. You do have your arm around your loved one, so you are prepared. Anyway.
Barreling down the boulevard.
Barreling down the boulevard, yeah, that's right.
That whole album was very beat writers' influence, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. To tribute to Kerouac, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, I love early Tom Waits because his voice is still a bit more human sounding.
Okay.
I like him later on as well with all the fun bits, but I do that whole melancholy, lonely in LA kind of driving around.
For a certain mood, for a certain time, for a certain place. I always thought this is the song that you wouldn't listen to on the Saturday night. It's the song that you would listen to after the Saturday night. You're back home again and you're having a scotch or something. Anyway.
You and I in that Oldsmobile for the heart of Saturday night, which of course you never find.
No,
because the heart is empty.
Is that how it works? Especially on Saturday night.
Can I say something?
Sure.
I was thinking about this theme of Saturday night and this Friday night and Saturday night. And I think Friday night is actually far more full of promise than Saturday night. And I think Saturday night, you've been to New York, right? Often on Saturday night, the what they call the BBQs, the people from Brooklyn, Bronx, and Queens, descend on town, and they're looking for the heart of the Saturday night. And it's a bit like New Year's Eve, I think. It actually never really happens. I think a random Wednesday night or a Thursday night can provide much more fun than that forceful feeling like it's Saturday and we must party now because it's Saturday, and it doesn't work.
It's the
same thing with New Year's Eve. You must have a good time. There must be a better party somewhere else. And there's none.
And then you go home.
And I think Saturday night is a bit like that. I think it's overrated.
That's right.
Because also, if you go through the songs, you find many more negative songs than positive songs.
It is interesting. But oddly enough, Friday night is much less sung about. I think so.
If you say Saturday night, there'll be 10 songs that immediately come to mind.
Yes.
Whereas with Friday, Here comes the weekend. That's Friday's more like the entree to the weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
All right. Now we're looking for the heart of the Saturday night, and here is the Cure.
Light.
10:15 on a Saturday night, The Cure. It's not the Saturday night you're thinking of.
This was the opposite of that Sparks song. This guy, it's 10:15 and he's still sitting at home.
Yes,
I mean,
the
song came out in 1979, which means the pubs in England were about to close. So right. If you're still at home at 10:15, there wasn't going to be much of a Saturday night happening for you. There's also a Neil Young song called Own Lonesome Me, and it starts with everybody's going out and having fun. I'm a fool for staying home and having none. And it's also about the weekend. And this is like slightly more modern version of that. But I think he captures it so well. Also, I love the production. It's so empty. You hear that tap basically drip on the guitar. Yeah. And, and then... I mean, people didn't like the album much. Yeah? This was the first album, Three Imaginary Boys. And it doesn't have that proto-Cure sound yet. It's a bit more fresh and sparkling than later it became all covered in clouds of synthesizers. And this is very sharp, clear production. And I thought, what a brilliant idea. Because I remember when I was that age, he wrote it when he was 16, apparently. You do have that feeling like everybody's having fun and you're sitting at home and you hear the tap drip and the guys didn't ask you out or whatever, for some reason you didn't have that fun, and it weighs much harder on Saturday than on any other night. And I thought he captured it very well. The song is just under 4 minutes and it ends in quite a loud guitar solo, and it's apparently, I read that now, it's regarded as one of The Cure's best songs. Okay. Billboard ranked it as number 10 on their list of 40 greatest Cure songs. And Mojo, in last year actually, ranked the song number 5 on their list of 30 greatest Cure songs. It was one of the first songs he ever wrote. It came out as the B-side of the single Killing an Arab. That's how I first heard it. I bought that single and I thought, wow, the B-side is actually better than the A-side.
So, and this is Robert Smith you're talking to.
And he wrote it apparently listening. He was at home hearing the tap drip and drinking his father homebrew and feeling utterly miserable.
A very unusual band, The Cure, I think, because they stride over so many different music styles, but extraordinary songwriting ability. The song that I listened to, it's very strange. I should have known it, but I listened to a cover version of Just Like Heaven. And I thought, oh my God, that's a fantastic song. And then I thought, oh yes.
Actually know it.
Yeah, I actually know it. Yeah. A kind of slowed down version of just a beautiful song.
He's got a very good knack for writing hooky pop songs, despite everything, all the instrumentation, and it's still, and always it sounds like The Cure as soon as he opens his mouth. You think, okay, that's The Cure. He's got a very distinctive voice. I love them. I think they're a brilliant band. Yeah. I saw them play here in Cape Town a couple of years ago.
Okay.
I saw them quite a few times early on when I lived in Holland, when there were still only three of them. And they were very good live. They were very strange as well.
How do you explain the popularity of gothic rock? I always think of it as a phase you go through when you're quite young, and just things seem very dark.
I mean, and very romantic. It's different from
exactly,
death metal. You can dress up and you can look beautiful in a gothic way, whereas if you're into death metal, there's not much of dressing up and looking beautiful.
Yes, exactly. It's like you're both depressed about the world and looking for love.
I remember seeing goths on the street in their outfits, and you think, Jesus, that must have taken such a long time.
Long time.
Like that. And they look otherworldly. You must give it to them. They look like so from a different planet.
Yes.
It was the opposite to punk almost. It was dressing up instead of dressing down.
Dressing down. And one of the oddities is that actually you look fantastic in the disco and terrible outside of it.
True.
So when you, see God walking around, you think, oh my God, that looks so odd. And then if you're in a disco and somebody's dressed in a sort of gothic thing, think, oh my God, you fit. You know what I mean? This is just perfect.
It takes a
contrasting
lot.
Face and the, it's very photographic. And
of course, it's also very accessible to girls. Whereas punk was violent and ugly and metal, the same thing. And not everybody wanted to be disco. So goth was very equal. Girls and boys looked like girls. And it was androgynous almost. It wasn't anything macho about goth.
Yeah. And actually, The Cure sort of covered all of that, those dimensions so beautifully. Because it was they were both rough and also romantic. Very romantic.
Yeah.
Beautiful, in fact.
Yeah. Great song. Waiting for the new album.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. All right, let's move on. This is my second song. And it's also a kind of lament about Saturday night rather than a celebration. Another Saturday night that I ain't got nobody. I got some money cause I just got paid. Now how I wish I had someone to talk to. I'm in an awful way. Dig this. I got in town a month ago. I seen a lot of girls since then. If I could meet them, I could get them. But as yet I haven't met them. That's why I'm in the shape I'm in. Here another Saturday night that I ain't got nobody. I got some money cause I just got paid. Now how I wish I had someone. Okay, that's Another Saturday Night by Sam Cooke. I learned something reading about this song prior to this. I learned that he wrote the song in the UK where he was touring. And he was in a digs that didn't allow a woman. It's bizarre that that such a thing existed. But he was sitting in his hotel room, in a hotel that didn't allow women in it. It's just extraordinary. But and he on a Saturday night, right? And then says, oh my God, I wish I had some company. Anyway, Sam Cooke, of course, Mr. Soul, just a fantastic, catchy songwriter who obviously had a bit of a dark side to him. Because all of his songs were just love anthems. They were just one after the other. But of course, he was shot in an altercation outside a nightclub. And the judge decided that when the case came to court, that it was justifiable homicide. Obviously, there had been a fight and I don't know, whatever.
Over a woman, I think.
Yeah, no.
He also wrote that beautiful A Change Is Gonna Come, right?
Yeah. Yes, that's
which
right.
Was,
and Chain Gang, and there was he wasn't only writing love songs, of course.
No, and that Change Is Gonna Come was voted best political song ever by the BBC at some stage.
Okay.
Because they had a top 10 and I was listening intently and had no idea what was going to be number one because all the songs I thought should be number one had been already. And then came Sam Cooke and I hardly knew that song and I had never really listened to it. And, and I thought, geez, it's such a beautiful song. And he grew up in church, yeah? So there's a lot of gospel influences as well.
It's very clearly music. In some ways. Big family, Baptist, Chicago. But you know what I like about this song? It's the line, another fella told me he had a sister who looked just fine. Instead of being my deliverance, she had a strange resemblance to a cat named Frankenstein. I mean, what a great line.
That sounds like Oasis.
Don't Another say that. Girl Oasis called Elsa. Will steal the song.
She's into Alka-Seltzer.
Precisely.
What I like about this song a lot is that it's got a cheerful tune. Another Saturday, night.
Saturday night.
And then the lyrics are so sad.
Exactly. Well, let's move on. This is your third song. Open all night was just in time replaced by the magic appearance of a new day while melancholic leader was crying on his back just in front of the supermarket the wait. Hey, those were the coats of the night as he stood on the counter. That's Saturday Night by Herman Brood. Am I pronouncing it right? Is it
Herman Brood?
Brood. Okay, Brood.
Brood. Brood. Herman Brood. Brood.
Okay.
Herman Brood.
He's obviously Dutch, clearly.
He started out in a blues rock band called QB and the Blizzards, and then they split and he was arrested for drugs and all sorts of stuff. But he got out of jail and he started a solo career, which I think started around 1977, 76. And he became our favorite junkie. He was heavily into every kind of drug that you could think of. It wasn't just heroin or cocaine or speed, everything, and alcohol. And okay. He looked incredibly cool. He was so cool. He had a quiff and high cheekbones. And he played rock and roll, like rock and roll as it should be played. He had a band called The Wild Romance. And they played every nook and cranny in Holland. And they got this enormous following because it was like sweaty gigs. Because they were good. They were good musicians and they knew how to play. And he wrote good songs. And this was his biggest hit, Saturday Night. And it's another song that's not particularly happy. It's about sort of that twilight when the sun starts coming up and it's actually Sunday morning and there's a few lost souls still hanging around, prostitutes, junkies. It's the down and outs. And that's where he felt at home. And he used to hang out there as well. He was very strong until he was about, I think, 54 or something, when he was completely finished. His body was completely done. And so his doctor said, if you drink one more drop of alcohol, you're going to die. He was in a wheelchair and all that. And he jumped off the Hilton Hotel, the top floor, and jumped to his death. And he had a little note with him that said, Sandra and all the other darlings, it was in Dutch, I'm translating now, Sandra was his wife. He said, I'm using this speed instead of burning up. And the burning up I leave to the cremation. Keep going like I did and don't despair. Make it into a party. I'll see you sometime. I'm now going to bungee jump without an elastic. Grace, Papa, drown in my own tears. That was his farewell. And I thought bungee jump without an elastic band. That was actually very funny. So they found him there in 2001, and he turned 54, and he had lived his life the way he wanted. And I can see that. You don't want to be some sort of drooling old man like Shane McGowan towards the end of his life. He became such a sad character. And I think he wanted to not be like that. And
It's quite sometimes young. Sometimes suicide is brave. Yeah.
Yeah, and he did it in quite a glamorous way.
Yeah.
Of course, people have to clean the mess from that because it was a high Hilton there in Amsterdam who would find him. But otherwise, you're not there in the middle of a street or something where people are walking. Yes. And it was quite an heroic, glamorous way to die, I thought.
Okay. I've never heard of him, though. Was he just big in Holland only, or was he big in Europe? Or
Germany, he was quite big, and maybe in Belgium. They tried the American market. And a number of his albums were released there. But he was also, if you're a junkie, you always need drugs. And traveling with him and having him on tour was a huge hassle because you have to go through customs and everywhere, because they know Herman Brood means drugs. So they're going to search.
Right.
And I think some of the band members were also quite heavily into heroin. So I think logistically it was a nightmare. I did find some of his albums in America when I was there, so they must have been released there, but they didn't really do much. America also had tons of those kind of rock and roll stars who, like Johnny Thunders and Iggy Pop, you know, who were heavily into drugs and make brilliant music. And his music was all right, Dutch standards, but internationally it was good rock and roll, but there's lots of good rock and roll all over the world. He married Nina Hagen. Remember Nina Hagen, the German punk singer? I think they did it as a publicity stunt because it's made into a movie. And he did everything to gain the sometimes you were in the train. And I remember sitting in the train from Amsterdam to Rotterdam. And suddenly you heard his voice through the intercom. And then he had grabbed the microphone from the guy who announces next station or something. And he was telling us all sorts of funny stories through the intercom. And apparently he gave the conductor, he was also a painter. He was quite, he had his own style. It's quite good. And then he didn't pay for his tickets. He just sketched something, tore it out of the thing and gave it to the conductor and said, here's my ticket. And of course they took it. And then they had a real Herman Brood painting or drawing. So now he was a very colorful guy and everybody liked him.
Okay.
There you are, Herman Brood.
Okay, good. Education, as always. Before we came on air, when we were just talking, SMSing each other about our songs, Fred's response when I told him what my songs were going to be says, oh my God, we're on different planets. And this song illustrates why. Right, that's Earth, Wind & Fire, Saturday Night, completely unlike anything we've played so far.
And a proper Saturday Night song, I think.
This is a sort of a celebration of Saturday Night, I suppose. And you can tell that because night is spelt N-I-T-E, not N-I-G-H-T. But the moon is shining bright and it's Saturday night. So there's lots of atmosphere and partying taking place. And anyway.
Somebody got the Saturday Night fever.
Yeah, and yes, and oh yes, and congratulations to both of us for not going there. Earth, Wind & Fire, the whole movement of these sort of big bands, big funk bands in the States is such an extraordinary musical achievement to stand there on stage with sort of 10 people, three vocalists, and to coordinate that number of people into something so tight. They prided themselves on being precise and exact. But really, it was an incredible achievement. And of course, Earth, Wind & Fire, the best exponents of this style.
Yeah. Did you used to like them at the time?
Not really. There were some songs that were just undeniable and really very beautiful. And there is something infectious about the sound. And it's so clever. There's such a great mix of instruments. It is it's absorbing. But I couldn't say that it was like my style, but a whole generation of American youth, this was absolutely pivotal in their lives, funk sound. And you still hear it, of course, in lots of places. And one of its utilities, I think, was that you could go so many places with it because there was a little bit of disco, there was a little bit of R&B, there's some jazz, a little bit of Afro-pop, some Latin.
Yeah,
it all happened in that very flexible style of music.
I remember September, which I absolutely didn't like at the time.
Okay.
in every disco, it was around the time when people in Holland, at least, were divided between disco and punk or new wave. Okay. And there was a lot of that. And I didn't like those high voices that they had, I remember. Yeah, and later, of course, you see how good it actually is. And you wonder, should I buy an Earth, Wind & Fire LP now, but then I wouldn't know which one to buy. It is, as you say, it's incredibly tight and it's very broad in that they have three singers, a brass section, a bass, a drum. I've come to the music from that era much more than I did at the time, the sort of disco, funk, soul. So maybe I should buy an Earth, Wind & Fire. We had a band called Earth and Fire in Holland, so there was always that confusion as well.
If you wanted to, the sort of criticism, I think you could say, it's not really a criticism, maybe that they were too about the snap and not enough about the melody. I find there's a bit of a sameness about the different tracks because they are, the style is all about this collective sound. So it homogenizes. I don't know, maybe that's an unfair criticism. Maybe I'm just not listening to it properly. But anyway, that's how it comes across to me.
Yeah, I don't know enough of them to judge. But there were other bands from that time that I actually like. I think my main gripe was the high voice. And as okay. September had that in that chorus, it went really high and more than one. And I thought, oh my God. But it was very catchy, I must say. And again, the girls like it. Eh? We stood there, arms folded in the corner, and everybody was having a great time, all the other people. And they didn't have to pretend like we don't like this kind of shit. I'm a bit envious.
No, exactly. And there was a whole movement behind them that we non-Americans are not really aware of, because there was Parliament Funkadelic, Cool and the Gang, there was
Cool and the Commodores, Gang. They were the of course we know. Yeah. Those
Sly
women,
and the Family Stone. There was a lot of bands in the style.
The Three Degrees. Yes. Remember them? Yep. Dirty Old Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was that sort of pre-disco funk soul movement.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Which
yeah.
was actually really good.
And so much better than disco. So much more.
I've come to like disco as well. We'll do an episode on disco. I'll find the disco thing.
Okay, the disco that you actually like. Yeah, that'll be a nice podcast. All right, that's our six songs. So, Fred, what are we going to do with this? How do we...
That's a tough one, eh?
How do we decide?
Are we going to go for a happy song or for a sad song?
I think in order to try and save Saturday Night, I think we should go for a sort of happy song. But actually, the out of our selection, the best songs, I think, are the sad ones, aren't they?
My favorite would be The Cure and the Earth, Wind & Fire one.
Okay. Now, I'm with you on The Cure.
The Cure as a sad one and the Earth, Wind & Fire for a happy one.
Yeah. I know that's a good compromise. But let's go with The Cure.
Yeah.
It's just unusual and clever. And
it's also closer to the heart for me, at least.
Yeah. For you. I feel sad for the heart of the Saturday Night for Tom Waits. But
Hammond Broad dived deep into it and he couldn't find it. It was only neon lights and down and out. That was the heart of the Saturday Night. Shame. They tell a story together, these six songs, which is interesting.
Yeah, no, they do.
Of a Saturday night.
Yes, exactly. Because your mind races to one sort of topic, but actually the songs are very varied.
What is the essence of a Saturday night? Is it scoring a partner? Is that what it was all about? Or just having a good time? Or I don't know.
I mean, I think, what is the heart of a Saturday night? I think the heart of a Saturday night is as variable as these songs, because full of surprise successes and deep disappointments.
Yeah, so full of promise that was never kept. Yeah.
Yeah, and then sometimes was, and to you and everybody else's surprise.
I think your Tom Waits song is a bit like, he wants to enjoy the Saturday night, but he's stuck with this woman. And if you have somebody, you know, that excitement of finding love or sex or whatever is much harder because you're already with somebody. One last question, Tim.
Okay.
Today is Saturday. What are you going to do tonight?
Strange enough, Fred, as it happens, I'm going to stay at home and think about the heart of the Saturday night. What are you going to do?
I'm hanging in front of the television, most likely.
Okay.
I'm not going anywhere tonight. I'll leave that to the young ones.
That is the truth of the Saturday night. The truth of the Saturday night is that there's a lot of going to the movies and just sitting in front of the TV.
Yeah.
All right, Fred, so what, next week?
Hopefully we've
got a guest next week, haven't we?
Yeah. But
We're going to pursue the guest, so we're not absolutely sure, so we can't announce it yet. But we're very excited about the guest.
Who it might be. That was me, Fred De Vries, and Tim Cohen with another episode of The Perfect Song For. Thank you so much for listening.
And don't forget, you can find us on X and on Instagram under the obvious designations.
And if you have any spare money, we do have a Patreon account, which is patreon.com /theperfectsong4.
And you can hear the full tracks on Spotify. Please do search for the topic rather than The Perfect Song 4 or some other variation of that.
And if you have any comments, suggestions, praise, or criticism, you can write to us at perfectsong4@gmail.com.
Cool. And do look out for our next pod in a fortnight's time.
Cool, man. Look after yourself.
Okay, you too. Thanks.
Trip.